Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I forever bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder and our miss, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet you in our greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum, and happy Savior's Day. And it is also my distinct honor to present to you my beloved brother, our Vice President of Nation Building Movement, our host tonight, Brother Kareem Muhammad from St. Louis, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen. And happy Savior's Day to you as well.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All praises to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. And as always, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the world, who came to us in the person of Master W.F. Muhammad, the long-awaited Messiah of the Christians and the Jews and the Mahdi of the Muslims, and in the name of the exalted Christ, whose day today is his the anniversary of his birth, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and also in the name of our divine reminder in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet you again, Queen, and the listening audience with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Yes, ma'am. And our topic tonight is Am I my brothers or /sisters keeper? You know, so we don't get no conflict, you know. What happened to the sisters, you know? I mean, so we're gonna keep it balanced here. And again, this topic is taken from the book of actually, it's a statement that's made in the book of Genesis, and I'm just going to read that. It's Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, and it reads, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And this is a statement that Cain made to Almighty God. Secondly, as we lay foundation and base, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, where it reads, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And finally, the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 10, where it reads, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shewn toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." And that is all from the Bible. Our last scripture that we're going to read as a base of foundation for our program tonight comes from Surah 47 of the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. And it's verse or ayah 2, and it reads, "And those who believe and do good, and believe in that which has been revealed to Muhammad, and it is the truth from their Lord, will remove their evil from them and improve their condition." And again, our subject tonight is, am I my brother's / sister's keeper? That is our subject for tonight. And before I move forward, I do want to also remind anybody that's on the line that if you have a question or comment or would like to be on the panel, even at this time, to participate, please press 1 on your dial pad. Anyone that's in the chat, please type in your question and we'll make sure that your question gets answered. All right, so moving forward, and since it's you and I, Queen, the first question we have is, who is my brother or my sister?
That's a good question. Well, in the words of Al Sharpton, all your skin folks ain't your kin folks, and all your color ain't your kind. So it is the mindset, the heart of the person. If you are identical in spirit, in faith, in your practice of faith, that is what makes someone your brother or your sister, because Allah God cares nothing about DNA. DNA is not going to save you, or it's not going to build a nation of true brotherhood, because we are all here by the will of Allah, and we have to work in accordance to the law. We have to keep our duty. So those that are found keeping their duty to Allah, those who are found practicing what they say that they believe, are indeed your brothers and sisters in faith and in spirit, having are striving to have the mind of Allah, in my opinion.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Well, I mean, I agree with you in that. I agree with you in that 100%. Now,
yes, sir.
The fact that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad shared with us in the mighty, mighty book, Message to the Black Man, these words, and I'm only going to read a portion of it so that we can get a better understanding and, again, lay more foundation for our topic tonight, which is, again, am I my brother or sister's keeper? The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad states to us in Message to the Black Man on page 48, and this is, I'm going to read just a portion of it. It's entitled, We Must Teach Our Own. Now, Elijah Muhammad states this. He says, today, with all of our white civilized schooling, we have not been taught of our own. They will never teach us of our own. Since the coming of Allah, their reason for not teaching us of our own is made crystal clear. The knowledge that Allah has given us gives the knowledge of our own. Being the first people of the earth, we are destined to be the last. We are the creators and the makers. This limited civilization of the white man and his rule is now terminating, never to be brought into existence again. This makes it absolutely against the will of the white man to honor and respect you and me and our nation as being the first people and the makers of the universe. Now, that being the case, I'm glad Muhammad stating this, and just as you know, with your response, like I say, I do agree with your response to the first question. Why does the Honorable Elijah Muhammad place so much emphasis on the fact, since we know that God is no respecter of persons, and as you said, ultimately, and I would say it like, I would phrase it like this, just because of my DNA or our DNA does not mean that we're going to be the builders of the nation or righteous. We see that by, that's evidenced by the behavior of individuals throughout the country and indeed throughout the world, but we're going to deal right here in the United States, the behavior of individuals in, quote-unquote, our neighborhoods, how we act toward one another. Why does the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and now the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan make so much emphasis of, for example, of unity among us as a people? I mean, why is the stress placed on that, do you think?
Well, wow, that's a broad question. For a lot of reasons. Number one would be scripture. The scripture says that once what was once the least will be made the most. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad has identified us in scripture, but we have been so torn or so deprived of the knowledge of ourselves that we fail to recognize who we are. And until we recognize who we are, it is almost impossible to elevate to our rightful place. And so, excuse me, we have to stand, support, be patient, educate, and teach one another. That is part of our duty. The duty of the civilized man is to teach the uncivilized. And you only do that through brotherhood and love. Another reason why we have to unify outside of the realm of our immediate family of who we call brother and sister is because people can turn hypocrite overnight. And so, unfortunately, in these days, I would say in those days, but in these days, it is so very possible, and that's why the minister is talking about separation. But like I say all the time, he's not talking about just separation from black and white. You have to separate the righteous from the unrighteous. For everything holy, there is something unholy. So if we're going to usher in the hereafter, then there has to be a law. There has to be an order, and Allah is a God of order. And so when we look across the aisle and say, okay, I got my brothers and my sisters in line, that might not necessarily be the case. That's evident by our own family members. So the brother and sisterhood has to be of the spirit and of the mind. As a matter of fact, the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan said that in his words, He don't give a damn about flesh and blood. If you're not with, of my spirit, to hell with you. And he was speaking of his children. So you
right.
have to be in accordance with the spirit of God. DNA is not going to give you salvation. Trying to hang on to those who are obviously contrary to Allah is not going to usher in the hereafter. We have to have unified minds and hearts.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. That's absolutely correct. I mean, we, as you just said, I mean, again, the minister did make that statement. And so for him to make a statement like that, it would behoove us to even look at that. I mean, again, I often refer to scripture. Not that I'm a quote-unquote Bible thumper or a Quran thumper. That would be the language that individuals use. However, I do seek and gain guidance from the books and from the words in the book. In the Bible, though, it does say that if one of your members offend thee, cut it off. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. I mean, that's what it's talking about. I mean,
yes,
for example, in our bodies, this is in extreme cases, though, in our bodies, for example, if an individual, say, has cancer and it has advanced to the stage where no other treatment will correct that situation, will cure it, then the last resort is, quote-unquote, surgery. And in surgery, what they do is they literally remove that organ, or they remove a portion of that organ, whatever part is diseased, they remove it, so that the rest of the body can continue to live and function. And that's the same thing that we have to do. Now, what I want to do is now, again, as we move forward, because we're talking about, am I my brother's keeper? So we're going to define, as I was raised, words, some words, or as we use the language now of Dianetics, we're going to clear some words so that hopefully we get a clearer understanding of the subject that we are discussing here. The dictionary defines brother as a male who has the same parents as another, one related to another by common ties or interests, kinsman, one of a type, one who shares with another a common national, racial, or religious origin, from the Latin fratria, member of the same clan or family. Sister is described as a female who has the same parent or parents as another, one related to another by common ties or interests, kinsman, one of a type, one who shares with another a common national, racial, or religious origin. And it comes from the Sanskrit svatsar, which literally translates from Sanskrit into son, S-U-N. The word keeper is defined as one that keeps, protector, custodian, one that keeps something in a particular position. From the root word keep, which is defined as to take notice of by appropriate conduct, to be faithful to, preserve, to maintain, support, save. From the old High German, Schaffen, to look or to look after. So in asking this question, am I my brother's keeper, am I my sister's keeper? I want to move to the second question. And the second question we have is this, is, in your view, how do most of us, you know, in your daily walk, how do most of us relate to one another daily? You know what I mean? Are we cordial? Are we looking out for one another to see that each of our best interests is at hand or has been taken care of? You know, or are we selfish in our walk? I mean, how do you view that?
Well, it's every man for himself and God for us all. I'm mean, that's the way we see it on an average basis. I think that's what a lot of us see. Not to say that everyone is like that. You have some people who are giving and caring and consoling to a fault. But when we look at the majority of us, we have to say that no, we're not looking at one another with value. We're not looking at one another as brother and sister. We're certainly not looking at one another in love in the way Allah intended. So we are far from that bond of brotherhood and sisterhood, because it's far beyond kinship. When you are born into a family, there's almost an automatic love that you have for your brothers and sisters, and then sometimes it only lasts till you get to know them better. But there's an automatic love that you have for your family, but we have to go beyond the doors of the immediate family, up beyond the doors of the household. And being a people who have been so robbed of the knowledge of self, we don't see one another with loving eyes. We fail to keep our duty to Allah by not being our brother's keeper. There's so much distrust, there's so much division, so much hatred, so much pain. And we have to recover. We have to rise above the emotional aspects that have shaped us and formed us. And we have to elevate to that thinking of Allah, to think of that person as you do yourself. Treat that person as you would like to be treated. Those are some of the basic rules that are written in scripture of how we are to communicate and socialize with one another. And that has been far removed from us.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, because I know for myself, and I'll just state this, that in, again, with my daily walk, I notice I see individuals, and I call them, I'll say it like this, I call them show believers or event believers. And when I say believers, I'm talking about anyone who, quote, unquote, claims to be a believer in God across religious or sectarian lines. That, in other words, when there's somebody around to see what's going on, you know, or when somebody that we consider to be important or someone who has celebrity around, then, oh, yeah, we're so kind, we speak so softly, and we're so helpful to individuals. But when they're not around, when a brother or sister, say, is in need of just, they may be in need of a kind word. Not to even say that they may need financial assistance, or they may need a meal, or they're living in ragged conditions, and we have the ability to alleviate that. We're not thinking about that individual. It's like you said when we first came on. You know, it's everyone for themselves and God for us all. And I mean, from what I've seen, and even in my own experience, a lot of times it's everyone for themselves, or every man for himself, and if you even think about calling on God, they may even try to stop you from doing that. I mean, this is just how sick some, not all, but some individuals are in how we deal with one another on a daily basis. It's truly, truly sad to see that. Now, I want to share a little bit more from Message to the Black Man by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, wherein he states, why so much teaching and warning given to the American so-called Negro, and so little or no teaching of the kind being given to the African and Asian black nation? He answers his own question and says, it is due to the fact that we are living in the midst of a people whom Allah God will destroy in the very near future. We are on the brink of fire and must be removed to a zone of safety. The ignoring of such warning and of the time of the judgment of this world, the Caucasian world, with great universal power that they have exercised over the black nation, makes it very hard for the average black person to conceive of the idea of such a strong race of people being removed. This is a very small thing in the eyes and power of Allah, removing and destroying people who have brought his anger against them for their neglect of worship and respect of him as the supreme being, who do not even respect his representatives, but prosecute and kill them. And he doesn't say persecute. He says prosecute and kill them. Think that over. Well, we delve into also another situation. Now, I believe it was last week, one of our sisters evidently drove her car up to the gates of the White House, I think it was. And that being the case, once she did that, she had a child in the car. From what I understand, they said she rammed the gate. Then when she couldn't get through, from what I understand from the video I saw, she was trying to leave. They drew their guns on her, and blew the sister. They assassinated the woman. Now, they assassinated this sister with her baby in the car. Later on, I saw them. First, they didn't want to give you any information. Then they tried to put a spin on it and say, oh, she did this because she was suffering from postpartum depression. Okay. I've never experienced that, but, I mean, that just doesn't pan out. I mean, but there was all kinds of excuses trying to make her the culprit here. I mean, we're talking about one woman. And what they did was they said, oh, well, she was in possession of a deadly weapon, talking about her vehicle. Now, I've lived in California a number of years, and I have seen the police chase an individual for sometime an hour, 2 hours on the highway. And we're talking about somebody that's a thug or considered themselves a thug, carrying a gun and whatever else. And then finally they apprehend him alive and take him to jail. But this sister with her child in the car, for what I understand, she got shot something like 15 times. I mean, I don't, how do you explain that? Now, the reason I brought that up is because, again, with our subject, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Whatever she was going through, if she had had the necessary support system, I'm not going to say us because I'm not suffering from it. I'm going to let you know right now on the air. The government shutdown has not had any ill effect on me because the government is not where I get my power, my help, or anything from. All mine comes directly from Almighty God, Allah, and he's not a spook. But there are so many people right now who are literally suffering from this government shutdown. They have no salary. From what I understand, I've seen posts on Facebook, and I've also talked to people in the streets. They're worried because they don't know how they're going to pay their bills. They don't know how they're going to feed themselves. So what I'm saying is that being the case, now, with our subject, am I my brother or my sister's keeper? That being the case, then what is it or what could have, in your opinion or in your view, could have been done? I mean, if this sister, do you think it would have been better for her if she'd had the necessary support system so that whatever it is that was on her mind, somebody could have helped her and gave her the necessary guidance or whatever it was she needed to let her know, hey, this is fine. It's okay. You don't have to do this. You don't need to talk to them because they're not going to do anything for you anyway. But anyway, that's the question I'm asking right now.
Brother Kareem, you got me between a rock and a hard place because, I'm a psychology major. So
yes,
I don't know the mindset of this woman who was killed. However, of course, the method Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, you know who that is. But the method of and the force that was used against her, it was unnecessary, as it has been with many other people in the past and will be in the future. However, it's hard to predict human behavior. You never know what people are going to do. Excuse me, you have people who strive hard every day, and then in a moment's notice, they will snap and do something off the chain. But I think that when we all begin, and I put the focus, the emphasis on begin, when we all begin to see the suffering is when we should extend the hand of assistance, of brotherhood, and of sisterhood, so that it will not escalate to that point. You have some people who might go into seclusion. So when you find one that goes into seclusion, we need to be found checking up on one another. Like I said, I don't know the mental state of this sister, however, I do know that the action of the police is very familiar. They would have had hostage negotiators and God Almighty out there himself if it was a white woman who had attempted to do this. However, by her being black, of course, deadly force is always the first choice. And the reason why it's the first choice, because it's the easiest way to eradicate a race, especially when you kill a woman. Because when you kill a woman, you kill a nation. She's not going to produce any more babies or anything like that to come into the future. So we have a responsibility to one another when the problem begins. And, you know, it's six in one hand, half a dozen in the other, because a lot of people are proud. And so when they go through things, they want to keep things to themselves. So we have to be observers. We have to always extend that love. We have to let people know that we are there, whether the times are good or bad, to create a comfort zone so that they can feel comfortable coming to someone when they are in such distress. That would have probably prevented that entire situation from happening. But like I said, human behavior is unpredictable, but police action is not. They wanted to kill her once they saw her face, I'm sure, and I have no doubt about that, and I'll repeat that anywhere I go. The police brutality in the United States in the last 5 years when it comes to black people has escalated 400%. They have killed more black citizens in the last 4 years than they've killed in the last 20. And so there's a plan of eradication of a race, you know, that's going on. And if we do not become aware, if we don't start looking out for one another and checking ourselves, it's going to be a lot more of that going on.
Yes, ma'am. All praises be to Allah. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, in the book Fall of America by Ham Elijah Muhammad, it's a very short chapter, but there's a chapter entitled Under the Shadow of Death. And he talked about that, like I said, in that very short chapter. He still talks about it and gives us the detail on it. And that is where we are at right now. All right, at this point, again, I want to remind our listening audience, if you have any questions or comments about our topic tonight, am I my brother's / sister's keeper, please press 1 on your dial pad to join us in this most relevant conversation. If you're in the chat room, please type in your question, and we will definitely answer it. Okay, Queen Aziza, do we have anyone, say, in Google chat or Yahoo chat that has a question, comment, anything?
They're in there, and they're kind of somewhat commenting, but no questions as of yet.
Yes, ma'am. All praise be to Allah. All right, we're going to move. We're going to roll right on along here. And the third question that I'm going to pose we've already gotten into somewhat, is this. What is my, this is a question we all have to ask ourselves. You know, what is my responsibility or what is our responsibility during this time as regards our people and the knowledge of what must be done? I mean, what is our responsibility? I mean, how do we respond to that?
Oh, are you asking me, Brother Kareem?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am. I am asking you.
Well,
I'm also asking those on the phone and in the chat room that same question. What is our responsibility?
Yeah, because y'all on the phone, y'all need to come help a sister out, especially y'all on the phone. Y'all in the chat room, y'all can type me some answers or something. Okay. First of all, let me just say this, and I don't want to be rude, you know, I don't want to come off mean or antisocial or anything like that, but, you know, I've been in the nation all my life, and I tell you that everybody not going to make it. And, you know, the scripture tells you that. So if I say that, you know, I don't want nobody getting offended because it's the truth. The scripture tells you that everybody not going to make it. That's the first thing. If everybody was going to be saved, there would be nothing for us to be fighting for. There would be no such thing as evil. I just want to get that out of the way. But what we have to do, in my opinion, Brother Kareem, and like I said, this is just solely my opinion. I have been around quite a few years, and I have learned a lot of behaviors. You have some people who are just contrary. And I just think that those people, you always try to extend the olive branch, so to speak, or you always try to extend the teachings. However, when they are rejected, it's almost like if you planted someone a garden and say, okay, I planted your garden. All you have to do is water it, and they refuse to water it, and then that garden does not bear fruit. That's not my issue. So people who are contrary to do the will of God, that's their choice. I'm not the judge of that. All I can do is keep my duty to Allah and do my best to extend the hand of sisterhood / brotherhood and, you know, try to share the teachings that we have been blessed to have for the last almost 84 years to save our people. The rest is up to them, because I tell you, when Allah gets ready to judge, He's going to judge us based on our own merit. So we can teach all we want to, but if people refuse to listen, and if they refuse to hear and obey, there's nothing that we can do about that. But we spend a lot of time preaching to the choir or preaching to the dead, so to speak. But we have a lot of people who are hungry for knowledge. We have a lot of people who are suffering due to the lack of knowledge. And that's just where I've chosen to put my focus. Like I said, everybody is not going to make it, and it's unfortunate, but it's true, and it's written in scripture. You know, I've witnessed many brothers in particularly who have actually gotten into fights because they tried to share the teachings, just because they tried to share sell a final call. I've had people, you know, not me personally, because, you know, I ain't going for it, but I've seen people get cussed out just by mentioning the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's name, you know. And the thing about it is that I just want people to identify with what the messenger is saying. And then if there's anything wrong, if there's anything that you find that is just absolutely opposite of what you believe in, or you can, you know, prove to us that it's wrong, it's immoral, it's not good for our people, then stand up and say that. You know, but the key and what the minister is doing is trying to save and warn all of us because we're at a very critical time in this nation. The government shutdown was just an example, but it is not near about what is going to happen when the government really shuts down. When the government really shuts down, there's no Social Security, there's no food stamps, there's no unemployment, there's no Medicare, there's no Medicaid, there is nothing. And when you look at billions of dollars that are being spent for food stamps, this is black, white, Hispanic, Asian, everybody who is considered in the poverty level, everybody who is considered poor. When you start extracting those dollars out of the food budget, if people don't eat, they don't live. It is going to be really, really critical. And that's why the minister is telling us over and over again, we need to get land. We need to do for self. We need to stop looking for jobs. We need to create jobs. We need to unify, you know, pool our resources and come together. He's not saying that over and over again because he likes being redundant. He's saying that because the time is critical. And it's evident every day that if we don't get somewhere and separate from these people, stop being dependent on these people, we are going to die. It's black and white. There's no gray. And so I don't, that's all. I'm going to put a pin in it right there, Brother Kareem. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. I mean, and as you said, I mean, honestly, really shoot yourself and smile to it. But as you were just saying, once you, when you teach, and you teach, and see, that's one of the things, you know, that is, in my vocabulary, and the teaching part of it is just not about running our mouths, as you said. The instructions that the minister is reiterating and reiterating, which are directly from the mouth of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, and I have to say that here. A lot of individuals seem to think that the minister's coming up with something new. He said many, many, many years ago that what he's bringing is not something new for all his detractors. It's not something new. He said that he made up his mind that when he decided to rebuild the work of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because those were his words, that he was attempting to put his foot down right in the footprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, right through. And when you, if you really study, you study the scripture, you study the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the minister has not left out of Message to the Black Man, Theology of Time, or any other books of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He's been right on course with that all the way. Now, what I will say is this, what he's done is he's made it very easy. But he's also placed everyone in the valley of decision because he's taken these teachings. He's taken this word, which is what we all need to do, and he's made it so plain, so simple that you can't say that you don't understand because he's made it so plain and simple. But along those lines of what you just shared, I want to share something from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad from the book, The Fall of America. It's chapter 48, starts on page 199. And if you don't have this book, and indeed all the books by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it's a must, regardless of what your religious persuasion is, your lack of religion. Read these books while there's still time, because in them is the plan which will get us, get you through this time and show you how to be successful even in this time. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states this. The title of the chapter is The Dreadful Times of America. America, and especially North America, has entered into the time that was predicted by Moses and the prophets between him and Jesus. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, there is a prophecy made by Jesus of the present time of America without mentioning her name. He referred to the country as a world because this part of the earth is referred to in many places by prophets and by Jesus himself as a wilderness. The name America is not yet 500 years old, so the prophets referred to it as a wilderness in their prophecy. It is terrific. I use the world or the word terrible because it is not a thing that can be described as something mild or something that is moving slowly, nor something that can be recognized so easily by the common people. It is clear to all who can see that America has reached the stage about which she always has been warned. She always has wanted to keep it a secret because of her so-called Negro slaves. She never desired for the slave to know too much of what was in store for her because of her enslaving and mistreating her slaves. She has reared them for the past 400 years, and she knows them. She knows how they think and how they react to her teachings, and she knows their fear of her. She knows her slaves, but the slaves do not know America, their slave masters. The great and dreadful and awful day, doom, is now in the doors and windows of America and of the church, the religion of America. As long as Christianity worked, America thought she was safe because it is one of the most deceiving and outright misleading religions of the world. Allah God taught me that if carefully examined, everything in the religion of Christianity is designed to make a slave out of black people. If Christianity was in a wet rag and wrung out, every drop would write slavery for the black man. The world knows this now, but the spiritually blinded, deaf and dumb American so-called Negroes to whom I am calling and appealing to reason, I am calling them to reason with me on the truth and their own salvation, and that is now in truth of self, end of the enemy of self. There will not be an end to the clashes between the black and white in America and throughout the world until wrong, evil, murdering, deceiving, and robbing the poor black man of the earth is destroyed and righteousness and justice are practiced. This is the day of God Almighty to set up justice and equality throughout the earth. He is to free the black man, the American so-called Negro, from his deceitful, evil, and murderous enemies. America wishes to oppose Allah God in this work of bringing justice and freedom to her once slaves. But this is just what Allah God wants. Allah wants America to attack him, to get the fight started, and to bring his judgment against her with the fullness of his strength and power. And I'm going to stop right there on that point. And again, remind the listening audience, press 1 on your dial pad. And some of those numbers out there I recognize. If you don't press 1, I'm going to make your mic live anyway so you can participate. Queen Aviva.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. Again, I'm asking, are there any comments, any questions from the chat at all?
Yes, Ken says men have to stand up. That's all he said. And Lydia says, how will unity make us strong against the enemy when they have all the guns, bombs, and money?
Such a wonderful question. And how will unity make us strong? Well, we have to understand something, and that is, you are correct, Lydia, when you say, yes, they have all the money. I'm going to start with the money first. They have all the money. However, let's take a look at the economics of America. See, that is where most of us get thrown off at. We think that the money, meaning the paper, is the actual power or the wealth. That couldn't be further from the truth. The money, if you will, is a symbol of the power and the wealth. And even that today, the dollar, you know, that currency, has no value to it because there is nothing backing it. That is one of the reasons that we stay in the condition that we are in right now, is because majority of us are chasing the dollar as opposed to the real wealth. And the real wealth are first the people and then the land. As my sister Queen Aziza mentioned earlier, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has reintroduced the three-year economic, and it's called a three-year economic program. However, it's a lifetime program is what it is, because we have to be on that 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 46 seconds of the day, meaning all the time, for the rest of our life, to build a true future and a true nation for ourselves and then for our offspring. But again, getting back to what the true wealth is, the true wealth is the people. You notice in the scripture, it states this. It says that the disciples asked Jesus about when were they going to see heaven and where was heaven at. Jesus made the statement. He said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. So that means that if the kingdom of heaven, which in heaven is described as this wonderful place where they talked about the streets being paved with gold and you're going to have milk and honey, notice that this is going to be the diet. He didn't say anything about no pork chops and no steaks, no hamburgers and no McDonald's and Wendy's. It said in heaven, where, quote, unquote, everybody wants to go, paradise, that the meal or the sustenance thing that you would draw sustenance from would be milk and honey. And just that alone, not to get off subject, but just that alone, if you were not going to have a physical body, what would you need with milk and honey? Think about that. For all those who think about that. What would you do if you found out that this heaven that it's talking about is not someplace in outer space, but is right here on the planet that you live on, but it's simply a condition of life that you yourself, once gaining the correct knowledge and unifying with others who have that same knowledge, have to produce for yourself? What would happen then if you come into that state of mind? So again, the real wealth is the people and then the land. Why? Because we must have land, number one, to live on, and then to produce the food that we need to live. Gotta have it. Now, again, back to the other question, because they have all the guns. Well, yes, they have all the guns. However, we serve the Lord of the worlds. If we are truly, and again, like I say, this has nothing to do with sectarianism. This has nothing to do with your particular, as my brother, student minister James Muhammad always says, faith expression. Has nothing to do with that. This has to do with the fact if you are one who is striving to submit your will to do the will of God, then you are serving the creator of the heavens and the earth. So he controls everything, including the atoms, the very molecules that these guns, these bullets, and everything else are made of. And as we discussed, I believe it was last week, talking about the same mind, it said that the same mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you. That being the case, then if we have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, when you study the scripture and look at the things that he could do, why should I be afraid of some little physical or carnal weapon when I serve a God, when I serve the creator of the heavens and the earth, who has control over the forces of nature and indeed the very air that we all breathe? I have no cause for concern. So how will our unity help us? Our unity, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad described it, is stronger than nuclear bombs. The reason being, let's look at this. At one time, it was much easier for them to kill or to control people, to master people with their tricks and lies. Now, they say it's much easier for them to just wipe the people out. But now, since we are the people of God, and when I say it again, the people of God, meaning those who submit their will to do God's will, then do you think that if they wipe us out or attempt, and I'll say that's what it's going to be, attempt to wipe us out, that the creator of the heavens and the earth, is not going to retaliate for that. But more specifically, our unity, regardless of how many guns, how many dollars they have, our unity will help us, because as a unified force, and one of the best examples I was ever given, I was shown by my sensei, and that's when I was my teacher in martial arts. He took a straw and he broke it, tore it apart. Then he grabbed a group of straws and he tied them together. And neither he nor I or anyone in the class could break them, showing us that when we come together with one unified mind, one unified goal, that there's nothing that can deter us, nothing that can destroy us, and nothing that can stop us. I know that's a very simplified answer, but I hope it was of some use. Also, for better understanding and a more in-depth answer, please take your time and check out the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's broadcast on Saturdays, The Time and What Must Be Done, which is every Saturday, 6 p.m. Central, and that would be 7 p.m. Eastern Time, as he goes into this very, very vital subject. Okay, I'm going to again remind the listening audience that if you have any questions or comments, please press 1 on your dial pad, and anyone that's in the chat room, please type in your question and we will definitely get an answer for you. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir, I'm back.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm glad to have you back with me here. And so are there any more questions at all?
Well, I think his name is Contrell. He says, has Minister Farrakhan act as a black millionaire entertainer to help build a nation?
Well, I would have to answer that question and say that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in his travels and in his work, he's always, as he talks, everything that he offers out for us to do is extended, of course, to those of us who have, quote unquote, material wealth, who have money. I mean, I can't say, because I'm not there with him personally, to say that he's actually asked, I can't give you any names of any particular millionaires that he's talked to, but they themselves often come to him and ask for his help, so I'm quite sure that the minister has, I'm not going to say solicited because that's the wrong word, but he has extended a hand of unity to them so that they can help in this building of a new world. However, for a better answer to that question, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan does have a Facebook page that you can go on and ask. You can also go on Twitter and actually tweet the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan with that question, and I'm sure he will give you an answer. And thank you for your question, brother.
Yes, sir. Brother Kareem, let me add to that, if you would.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
First of all, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is speaking to all people. A lot of celebrities who are not afraid, let me put the emphasis on that, who are not afraid
come on,
to
now
admit their association with the minister, have sat down and have talked with him. But the minister is not asking them for money. The minister has asked them to go back and rebuild the communities from which they came. A lot of them have come from poor communities. Jay-Z, who is almost a billionaire, if he's not a billionaire already, come from Brownsville in New York. Calvin Broaddus, known as Snoop Dogg. He comes from right there in South Central L.A. He's not asking them to put the money in his hand or put the money in his pocket. He's asking them to go back and rebuild, excuse me, the communities from which they came. Because our dollars are powerful if we would spend them within our own communities. I mean, if we look at the fact that we have sometimes two and three generations of people who live in the same community, some of them, they live or they're renting from the same landlord. I know some people in South Central that have rented a house.
Queen Aziza? Okay. We call just dropped with Queen Aziza on it. We're going to work to get her back on so she can finish what she was saying. In the meantime, I want to thank you all early for joining us tonight for this subject. Am I my brother's keeper? And as always, we must remember that anything that any of us have to say is extremely important. Yes, ma'am, go right ahead.
I am so sorry. Y'all know I'm in the country, in the woods, so, you know, that happens. But what I was saying is that sometimes we've had people who have for rent houses 20 and 30 times over, well, 4 and 5 times over. And so if we can imagine the amount of money that we spend on foolishness, you know, we as a people are very, very wealthy when you pool our resources together. And that's how every nation is formed. Every nation is formed with the people having a common vision, doing a common work, and actually pooling their resources together. That's how you build nations. And so we have been strangers here in a land that is not our own, but here is where we are. So here is where we have to build. And when the minister is talking about us pooling our resources together, yes, there is a national fund of the 3-year economic blueprint, but those of you who are desiring or have the skills to be in business, if you don't have the money, you can get with 2 or 3 other people, 5 or 10 other people, however many it takes. You can start businesses out of cluster groups and work together and build a business. When the Hispanic people or Spanish people, I don't know the proper lingo, when people come here from Mexico, if you notice, you might have 10 of them in a 2-bedroom apartment. But within 6 months, 5 of them are in another apartment. And then 6 months after that, 3 of them are in another apartment. So the number dwindles because they all worked and saved together. Or either they are by a home. It might be 10 in a home, but then in a couple of years, so-and-so going to go get a house. And on and on and on. And a lot of our so-called immigrants come here and do that. We've been here all the time. Our babies are dying over blocks they don't even own. But they feel entitled to them because they've been there so long. When your grandmother rented here, your mama rented here, now you're renting here. You got 3 generations deep into a block where you're paying rent and you don't own anything. That is insane. We're the only people that do that. So, no, the minister is not asking celebrities for money. He's asking for black people to pool their resources. If you want to give to the National Economic Blueprint Fund, fine. But if not, if for some reason you feel like it's something you can't trust, at least get with other people who have the same or common goal that you have. Pull your resources together and build something for yourself. That's what the minister is asking us to do, so we cannot remain dependent upon our enemy to feed us, to clothe us, to take care of our medical needs, because it's obvious day by day that they can't even budget the country, and they can't even take care of themselves. It's a lot of white people unemployed, too. But if they do decide to find jobs or create jobs, they're not going to give them to us. We have to do something for ourselves. And that's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came and gave us that message, because he knew this time was coming. And now the hour is up on us, and we have a responsibility to do for self before we are forced to. And I'm going to tell you, it's a big difference between doing something that you want to do and doing something that you're forced to do. You're forced to get up and go to work for the enemy every day. But there's a joy, a fulfillment that you receive when you're doing it for yourself. And when you can pass this on to your children and your grandchildren, just like every other generation of white folks do, they leave legacies behind. What do we leave behind for our children? Bills, grief, pain, poverty. We have a history of that. So if you want to rewrite history, get up and build something for yourselves, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren. It's not impossible to do. You just have to make up your mind to do it. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All praises be to Allah. Thank you. Thank you for that answer. And you're absolutely correct. That, again, and that also goes back to the question before that, how will our unity help us? Exactly. How will our unity help us?
Yes, sir. And we have another question from us. Oh, I'm sorry. Thomas says, how many hospitals, factories, jobs, et cetera, does the nation have? And, you know, usually, Brother Kareem, I would ignore something like that. But I just want to.
Yes.
Let me address Brother Thomas right quick.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me take a breath. Woo-sah. Okay. I want people to understand, because when the minister began this 52-week series, and this is something that I'm really trying to put into practice, Brother Kareem, practical application of what we learned. He said, enjoying one another the patience and enjoying one another the truth. And
that's right.
You know, a lot of people will ask a question in an ill spirit, and that's fine. But we're going to answer you in love. And
that's
so
right.
We don't have any hospitals or factories or jobs. Well, we have jobs, but we don't have factories or hospitals. But let me explain something to you and everyone who may be listening. The minister has a divine assignment, and his assignment is to extend or continue the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad for us to get up and do for self. When God gives you an instruction, he gives you an instruction for you to carry out. He doesn't give you an instruction and then turn around and do your assignment for you. So when you have been appointed a messenger, that is what you do. You give a divine message. It's already obvious that in our behavior that we have learned here, that we don't appreciate things that are given to us. We become dependent and we become lazy. We depend that our jobs are going to be there. We depend on food stamps. We depend on welfare. We depend on Medicaid. We depend on the free clinic. But we don't appreciate those things until they are gone. So we have to build. The message is that we have to build for ourselves. And a lot of people think, well, you know, the nation should have this, the nation should have that. The nation is a very small group of people compared to the amount of original people of the planet Earth. The nation is the original people of the planet Earth. But if the people are not coming together and hearing the message, it is almost impossible for us to build, because if you're talking about those who are in the mosque, compared to the population of the earth, that is few. So this whole entire planet belongs to us, and all the original people are members of the Nation of Islam. So it's going to take all of us to build factories, to build hospitals, to build schools, to build businesses. It's going to take all of us to build a nation. When the white man came here, he ran the Indians off and put the ones that survived on plantations. And, of course, there were 100 million of them here, and they killed most of them so that they could obtain the land. Now, that's just how it was. But now we have a more civilized way, because we have a divine teaching that is teaching us how to obtain some of this land for ourselves. And Allah will take care of the rest. We have to be proactive in building. We have to stop waiting for somebody to give us something. We have to be pioneers. We're waiting on somebody else to start so we can join on to something. We have to be pioneers. We have to go and build it. And that's my comment to Brother Thomas. Thank you, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am, all praise is due to Allah, and we got individuals' hands up, and I'm going to bring them in momentarily. However, I do want to say this also to add to what you just said on the veggie back, as we say. The bottom line is this. The factories, the businesses, and all those things, how many of those does the Nation of Islam have? We have many. They simply have to manifest themselves. As you said, Queen Aziza, the thing is that everyone is waiting on somebody else. Anybody who poses that kind of question, I ask them, how many factories do you have? How many businesses do you have? See, the thing is that, yes, we have these teachings. The thing is how many of us are using them, how many of us are have practical application of the information we have. So now I'm going to make our beloved sister Jamie. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, beloved. How are you this evening?
I'm fine. All praise is due to Allah. I'm glad you could join us this evening. And as always, and, you know, we greet you again, as-salamu alaykum, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. You know, our topic tonight is, am I my brother / sister's keeper?
As-salamu alaykum, Sister Diatoma.
As-salamu alaykum, salam. I love you. Thank you for those words last weekend. I needed those. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and so since that is our topic, I'm going to ask you for your view on the first question. I'm not going to go back all the way through all of them, but
yes,
on the
sir.
First question, which is, who is my brother or sister, in your view?
Okay. Well, my brother and my sister is the ones that think like me. At this present and pressing time, it's not about color. It's about believer and disbeliever that we're dealing with right now, because our lives come in for his people, and he didn't say that they was black, white, Chinese, you know, they are nations, all nations. So my brother and or my sister is the one that think like me, that move like me, that believe like I believe, and wants to grow like I want to grow. That's my brother and that's my sister. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. All right. Well, then since that's absolutely correct. And since that answer was very concise, then I will ask you the second question in your view. How do most of us relate to one another on a daily basis?
Unfortunately, when we look at the black community, how we relate to each other, we relate to each other in jealousy and envy. And I hate to say it that way, but that's the way it is. We look at each other and say, well, she think or he think or they have and I don't have. And it's all about envy and jealousy. And not how can I obtain or how can I get around that sister or that brother to see how to grow the way that sister or that brother has grown. But, man, she thinks she all that or he thinks he all that or he thinks he's smart or she thinks she's smart. It's so much envy and jealousy amongst the black community. The sickness that we deal with on a daily basis is ridiculous. We have nothing. We own nothing. I'm talking about within the inner communities, within the inner cities, because you got those other, you know, uptown brothers and sisters that say, well, all they got to do is just want it. Well, if they was never taught to go get it, how can they go get what they was never taught to go get? So, again, that's about envy and jealousy. You know, we not trying to reach out and reach up and bring up one another. We just want to keep each other down. The biggest problem that I deal with working with blacks, because I am in business for self, and I'm trying to grow my business to the next level, be it the will and grace of Allah. But like you said, brother, I can't bring nobody with me because reality of it is we don't want to work together. So I got to work the vision that God gives me, and then when it's that time when he said, okay, open up the floodgates, and I'll be able to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, here it is. I got this over here, so come on along. Our biggest issue that we have with one another is we try to get over with one another. We don't pay one another. We get frustrated with one another. We don't have patience with one another. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And to my brother Vernon Muhammad, I apologize, beloved. You know what I'm saying? So what it is that we don't want to understand with each other is that we're sick. We're sick-minded because we was never taught how to work with one another. I was looking at this man had told me, he was a black man. I mean, he was a white man. And his mate, he said he's married to his woman, his wife. And the reason why he's married to her is for social status. It had nothing to do with the love that he had for his wife. He said, I married her because of social status. I said, well, explain that to me. I want to get a deeper picture of what that means. I need to understand what that means. He said, well, I have, my family have, her family have, and together we have together. She has a degree, I have a degree, and together in the social status of things, you know, we look good together. See, because we're able to take our money with her family money and my family money, we're able to put that money together and we're able to grow and build more. It ain't got nothing to do with love. It ain't got nothing to do with any of that, but it got something to do. It's all about business. And see, when you look at it on that level, it's a business level because now we marrying into each other's family and we keeping the money amongst the family. And I said, well, that sounds like something sick. It sounds sick to me. It sounds like what's the use? What's the point? It's like there's no love. There's no anything, but it's not about that. It's about building. We can't even get to that point to even try to build with one another. Even if with the love thing, we can't even build with one another. We just sick in the community, can't even get together. Our biggest hindrances, again, is jealousy and envy. It's about what they ain't doing. Everybody got something to say about somebody else. Well, she's going to steal it. He's going to steal it. It's about that and it's about that. First of all, like Sister Queen Aziza said, take care of what's in front of us. Like you said, build what's in front of us. We do it. Build it, they'll come. And then once they see that something is being done, and we honestly, because we are sick, we got to be careful of who we let in. You can't let everybody into your storage room because you wondering why your food getting smaller because they taking the food out the back door. So you got to be careful who you let in your storage room because we do have people that are jealous and are envious. You know, you want to employ your brother and sister, but the reality of it is if they still sick in the mind, they're not going to do right by you. So, but we got the best example in front of us, and he teaches us. He's the reminder of how we're supposed to do it all because he did it with his teacher. Minister Farrakhan, when he raised back up this nation, all praise due to Allah, I wasn't around when it first happened, but it was my year of my birth, 1977, when he started this over again. And when you look back, look at what this man had raised. The nation had fallen, had gone. There was no more. Now this man has raised by the will and grace of Allah a new nation, that is thriving. It might be taking its time, and I might get a little frustrated with it, but the reality of it is growing. By the will and grace of Allah, it is growing. And it's not going to happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight. I'm 36 years old, so he's been doing his work for 36 years. He's been putting in work, and he probably tired and frustrated, just like I've been in 8 years and ready to just burn up some things. So I can only imagine how he feel in 36 years. So, but he did it regardless of what obstacles, who said what, who came to do what, he did it. And he is our best example that we must not only just follow, but imitate. There's a walk that we got to walk as believers. No matter how hard or how upset we get, do we fall short of our duty to Allah because of what somebody else is doing to us? And that question, that answer is emphatically no. Keep pushing forward. So thank you, Brother Kareem, for allowing me to answer that question. Praise be to Allah.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you for answering that question. I mean, that is the reality. And Queen Aziza. Before I move on to the next question on the pad, I was going to ask if there's anything else in the chat room, any more questions, comments?
Yeah, we got some that's coming in because there's some I'm just not going to ask.
Yeah, I understand. Yes, ma'am.
Because I don't feel like cussing nobody else. Just keeping it real.
I understand perfectly. I mean, you know, I'm not, you know how to
handle it. But let me just remind the people in the audience, this is, we love our minister, and yes, we do defend our minister. However, questions that are ludicrous, I'm just letting you know publicly that I'm not going to entertain them. But if anyone has a question pertaining to the topic, we'll be more than happy to answer your questions. Thank you, Brother.
Yes, ma'am. And I do have a hand that's up now, so I'm going to make area code 404. Your mic is live.
Yes, good evening. This is Eugenio.
Good evening, Brother Eugenio.
See, I knew if Sister Aziza heard my voice, that would put a smile on her face.
When I hear my sister Aziza
frustrated, I got to come and just call. I've been listening.
That's right.
She's frustrated. She's at that high point now. So I said, I wasn't able to get in earlier. So I said, let me try this one another time. And then Brother Kareem saw me with my hand up. But I want to make a comment, and I hope that my nerves don't break me up. But there was a question that Brother Kareem asked early in the first hour. And, you know, one of the comments I would like to make, but first of all, assalamu alaikum to everyone in the room.
Walaikum salam.
Yeah, walaikum salam to everyone.
Walaikum salam, beloved.
We're in a very interesting time, you know, with the government shutdown, unemployment rate being high, schools being cut, programs being cut, people being laid off, individuals not getting money that they need to survive. And a lot of times it's a problem, and then people throw out a solution. And these things, like the government shutdown, the loss of jobs and unemployment rate, these are all symptoms. And what it is that it forces stress on the body, on individuals who want to be able to provide for their families, knowing that, okay, you make $12 an hour. However, when you go to a grocery store, it's not keeping up with your check. So there's a lot of stress that's on many, not just black people, but brown, white, everyone is under a lot of stress in this wilderness. And so when I see that, I try to tell that to other individuals that I come across. I find it now that it's my duty, thanks to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his national representative, Louis Farrakhan. When I saw those two gentlemen, only, of course, I've only seen them electronically, but the thing is that people ask me a lot. They say, well, Henyo, I mean, are you living in heaven or are you living in hell? And I say, well, you know, brother and sister, I am actually living in heaven. And they say, oh, Henyo, how can you say that when you're unemployed, you're struggling day to day? I mean, you don't know how you're going to make it the next day, and your family business is crumbling. And I said, well, brother or sister who come in contact with me and they ask that question, I tell them, I said, well, you know, 4 years ago, or really the 3 years, about 3 years ago, if I didn't meet the national representative, he found me on Facebook, on the YouTube. If I didn't see him that day, I don't know where my life would be at this point in time. And so that's why I say heaven, because I could still be, sure, could I be on another job, making good money, wearing the suits, driving my vehicle back and forth, helping out the community? Sure, I could have been doing all that. But I wouldn't have these messages that I get from this program tonight, that I hear on Saturdays, that I hear on Sundays, and throughout the week from the Nation of Islam. I really do give all praise to God, because he gave me a second chance. This sorry sinner that's speaking to you right now, he looked upon me and said, well, Henyo, I need you. And I need you to do me a favor. It's time for you to use that gift that is within you, and so that other people can see it. They need to hear you. They need to see you perform this. If I did not continue to listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaks, the national representative speaks, I have no idea where my life would be today. And I just think that it's true that our people today just need patience, and we just need to listen and come together. I know that's tough. Just like the sister just mentioned, it is tough when you're dealing with our people. They don't always see the angle of why we should come together, even though we say that, look at the other races. The other races do it. We need to do it too. But I just think that future, I guess I'm a cocky optimist. I believe it will happen. Some of us will come together. Not all of us. I've seen that personally. Not all of us. But some of us will. And I just thank this program for finding me on Blog Talk. I thank Sister Ziza for continuing her work, and Brother Kareem, you know, every week y'all put it out. So that's just my comment. I hope I didn't take too long. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, Brother Eugenio. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Eugenio. You know, I love you much. Thank you for all your support. He listens so faithfully. Thank you, Brother Eugenio.
That's all right. Yes, he does have
y'all.
All right. I just had a question text to me from one of our sisters and a very dear friend of mine, Sister Pamela Muhammad. And her question is this, which you both have actually answered it, but she actually had a problem with her phone. She wasn't on, but she's back on now. And so if we can go back over this just briefly, her question is, how do we influence the thinking of our people? How do we get us on the same page? And so just briefly, you know, I mean, both of you, Queen Aziza and you also, Sister Diatoma, have answered it, but if you could just kind of recap what you shared on that subject.
You want me to go first?
I'll yield to Sister Diatoma first.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. How do we influence the people? Oh, praise be to Allah for that question, because the reality is the people is looking for a change. They're tired. The babies are tired, they're frustrated, they're angry. The mothers are tired, they're frustrated, they're angry. The fathers are tired, they're tired. So they're looking for a change. You know, I wear my headpiece everywhere I go. It's mandated to me, for me. And when I go out in my headpiece, especially down south, I just recently moved down south, it's not a prevalent thing. So a lot of people, they look and they stare. They look and they stare. I had just recently posted on Facebook about when I went to my son's school and I had on my headpiece and everything, because in case people don't know, and we really need to see what's going on in our children's school, they have recently added within the world history within the children's school, they have recently added religion back into their curriculum. A lot of people don't know this because we don't even understand what our babies is going through. And so on teaching them the curriculum, they're giving them information about Islam. So, of course, in giving them information about Islam, they're telling them about what goes over and overseas. So my son has been getting the biggest thing lately with people in his school that's seen the children ask him and say to him is, y'all kill people. Y'all bomb people. And my son, you know, he's trying to explain to them, no, we're not that kind of Muslim, you know. And as to why, you know, they teach and show you only this portion of what Islam is. He's trying to tell them, like, what is America trying to do? But they're not trying to hear that because they don't understand it. So as he's trying to teach them and we're trying to teach them and we're trying to tell them, look, we're not that kind of Muslims, because, well, my teacher said that, and I said, baby, I understand what your teacher said, but this is what they're teaching our babies in school. We don't even know what these killing fields is doing to our babies' minds. But all praise is due to Allah. He got a messenger on scene that, you know, we're able to go out into the community and teach the children a better. But how we influence them is that alone. We teach them. The only thing they're seeing and they're hearing is what others are giving to them that don't have their best interests at heart. Because if they had their best interests at heart, they wouldn't tell them to brush their teeth with fluoride. They wouldn't tell them to put ammonia on their body that's going to one day cause them to have schizophrenia or cerebral palsy or whatever else diseases that's out there. They won't be giving them these hormone genetically modified organisms that's going to turn them and take them into all types of things and creatures, basically, as my brother had one day said, that zombie. So we influence them by giving them the proper things to eat physically and mentally, because the reality of it is they're not feeding them right mentally and physically. So we got to teach them and brainwash them, completely just take their brains and wash them and give them the truth of who they are, because a lot of them don't even know who they are. You tell a sister you a queen, put on some clothes, she like, I know I'm a queen, but I ain't got to put nothing on. Why you got on them clothes? It's hot. And I said, baby, actually, the more clothes you wear, the cooler you are. She like, for real? Yeah, for real. it's actually your skin is trying to rehydrate itself from the sun because it's drying you out when you don't have on clothes. She's like, for real, for real. So we have to teach them. We have to show them the proper way of doing things. You know, anytime you try to change someone and you try to enforce it on them, they're going to buttle. They're going to go against anything you try to say to them. So we have to live the life that they want to see, because the reality of it is they're tired of living this life. My son goes and opens doors for little girls and queens and stuff. He said, come on, queen, go ahead. And they look at him like, oh, he's different. He don't call me this or he don't call me that, because he said all the women in his school call the male bees, and all the male call the women H's, hoes, or garden tools, whatever. And I said, really? He said, yeah, Mom, but I don't do that. I said, because you know better. You've been taught better. He said, yeah, Mom, but I'd be ready to fight them brothers because they just talk to them women any kind of way. I said, I said, you be the change you want to see. And that's what we got to be worldwide, nationwide. We have to be that change that our people is looking for, and they will follow. Praise be to Allah. I'm done.
Yes, ma'am. All praise to Allah. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
If you would weigh in on that, please.
Well, it's not too much I can add to what my sister just said. However, I will say this. We have to stop being about lip service.
Come on.
It is easy to sell someone a dream, but it's very hard to show them a reality when you're not living a reality. So basically, it's just like she said, we have to be the example. Because, you know, everybody can give a speech, but everybody cannot move people. But I'm going to tell you something. The scripture says that Allah will not change the condition of a people until people change their own condition. And a lot of people hear that and say, huh? Well, if I'm going to change my own condition, what is Allah going to do for me? He's going to bless you in abundance. The Christians have a saying that if, you know, well, I don't know if it's from the Christian saying, but maybe it's from scripture. I haven't found it. But they say that if God make one step, if you make one step, God will make two. So we have to be the ones that put forth or bring into fruition what we say we believe. It makes no sense whatsoever for me to tell people that Islam is the best thing going and I'm out here living and looking like a heathen. I cannot tell you that Allah will bless you for your obedience, for your prayer, for your sacrifice. And I'm out here in total hell. Not just, and I'm not talking about just because you get broke. I get broke. And I'm not talking about because you get sick. I get sick. But nothing beats a peace of mind. And when you have a peace of mind, when you know with a surety that Allah is going to see you through and that whatever you're going through, that Allah will be sufficient for you, when you know that in your heart and in your mind, and you have that kind of peace, nothing can bring you that kind of peace but Allah. So, you know, we have to live the life that we say we represent. We got people out here that want to kill somebody behind saying something about Minister Farrakhan, and then you turn the corner and you acting like a damn fool. You're not representing the minister. You might be representing your own agenda.
That's right.
So, excuse me, people are tired of the lip service, Brother Kareem.
Come on.
That's
right. You know, people are tired of fantasy, of you selling them pipe dreams, so to speak. People want to see the fruit of your works.
Come on.
But if all we can offer the people is a conversation, then that's all we're going to get in return. However, the people have to realize that they have a responsibility.
Yes.
And they can't sit around and wait. So when you talk about influencing somebody, the sister who asked the question, I'm going to tell you something. Your hard times should be your biggest influence. When your soul gets tired of suffering, that should be your biggest influence to get up and make changes to your life.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize from day to day that what you've been doing is not working, you hit your prayer rug and you ask Allah for guidance and understanding, that should be your biggest influence, because you cannot wait or you cannot seek salvation in another man, because the soul that is trying to guide you could very well be lost himself. You have to seek salvation from Allah. So your circumstances are your biggest influence, because when you get tired in your soul, you will make the change. No one has to influence you. No one has to instruct you. Nobody has to pray for you. You'll get up and you'll do it when you get tired. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for your response. And, again, I agree. I would simply say this in response to the same question, is that getting us on the same page, just as you responded earlier, the fact that, number one, we have to accept the fact that everybody's not going to make it. The bottom line is that we, who are indeed true servants, it's the practical application of the teachings in our life. Because remember, everybody's visual. So, As the old folks say, talk is cheap. However, when an individual sees you producing, they're going to come because they want what you have. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Out of their own feet. They're going to come because they see you have something, they see something that you have that they want, they desire. So we have to, and you know, and you, Queen Aziza, you know for yourself that that's my main focus, is practical application of these teachings, because we talk about it all the time. We can talk. There is no way, and like I said, I'll use this as a prime example. I've used it before, but how can we, as followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, or students of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, say out of our mouths we have supreme wisdom, yet we are having no impact of a positive nature in the community where we are? Just doesn't add up. How can we tell the people, how can we talk bad, and I mean some of us do that, how can we talk bad about the church? How can we tell people that they need to come out from under quote-unquote Christianity? And don't even qualify that statement. When you've got, and I'm going to just use this as an example, you got a mosque or several mosques in a city, and literally they're producing nothing. And yet you have a church or churches in the same city that have actually taken the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and are literally transforming their neighborhoods. They're resurrecting the dead. I mean, it's difficult, if not impossible. So we have to personally, in our own lives, most and foremost, internalize these teachings and live these teachings, and then step out and produce. What, in other words, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, we have to supply the people's needs. We supply their needs, Now it's easy to teach them. Why? Because they've already been taught basically by your physical example. The little talking that you got to do won't amount to anything. You may have to correct them a little bit here or there, but they're going to follow what they see you doing and not, as you say it, what you say. So the end of lip service. So we're going to move into our final two questions, and I'm going to come to you again, Sister Diatoma. And it's right in line with what we've just been discussing. And the question is, when is enough enough? When it comes
yes.
to our duty as when it comes to our duty as one another's keeper. In other words, when does our responsibility end as being our brother or sister's keeper? I mean, you done tried everything. You done you done gave them money. You done got them out of jams. You done done everything. When is enough enough in your view?
Well, hey, each one.
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of things, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that there are two people, believer and non-believer. And to my wonderful brother, Kareem, like you said, when you see a person for what they are, take it for what it is and move on. Because we try so hard. And I know I'm big at that, to try to change the world, because I'm a carer. I invert. I take on people, other people's feelings and other people's problems and other people's care, because it's just in my nature. I'm a nurturer. But when we see that they are not on the same wavelength as us, we can try all we want, but the reality of it is they gotta want change. And if they don't want change, then we can't keep holding their hands. Because I heard a minister say one time about it's in nature, survivor. It's about survival. You're going to self-preservation. You're going to want to survive yourself. And we're getting into an hour that's getting dark. And we can't want to save everybody that don't want to be saved. Either you're going to take these teachings, run with them, live by them, love them, make them your best friend, or you have to pay the price of the people of before. We have all other people of before as an example, from Noah, Lot, whoever else, all the people of the Quran, Talmud, Hud, you name it. We have the teachings in front of us. Allah is steady warning us, and he's steady telling us, and we still, even after Katrina, even after the East Coast, even after everything that has hit our door, the pestilence with the AIDS and the HIV and the syphilis and everything that's going on. And we still don't submit because we want to say, oh, that was back in the day. That's right now. Wake up. Sarah was today. My son asked me a question. He said, Mom, he said, who was Pharaoh back in the day? He said, I'm reading my history book. Who was Pharaoh back in the day? I said, well, keep reading. I don't care how far you go back. But for Pharaoh, they're talking about is the Pharaoh of today. I said, I don't care how far you go back, but the Egypt they're talking about is the Egypt of today, and the slaves they're talking about is the black man and woman of today. It's right here in our face. And all we got to do is understand and wake up to it. So enough is enough when we have did everything we can. The Bible says, dust your feet and go not unto the hypocrite no more. When we have done everything we can do, that's our duty. That is our duty to teach. That's our duty. And to give the word. He said, the Quran said, Muhammad was not but a messenger. It's not up to him to make you believe in the message, but to give it. God is screaming at us right now to wake up and do right. And either we're going to do it or we're not. And I cannot hold anyone's hand, not even my own children. So, I am no longer my brother keeper. After my brother decides he no longer want to be kept, all praise to Allah.
Come on. All praises is due to Allah. That's right. And Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, I'm supposed to hit it right on the head. However, I still want to hear what you have to say in response to that question. It is enough.
Man, I ain't coming behind that. Are you serious? Well, let me say this. When is enough?
Yes.
You know, the first thing I want to say, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that we are not to judge or condemn our people. We are not even qualified to do such a thing as far as judging or condemning our people. But when you have exhausted all conscious efforts to reach and to help somebody, because, see, it's one thing to say, well, I tried to help them. But you can't help somebody if you don't know what kind of help they need.
Yes, ma'am.
If you are perceiving that this person is hungry, so I feed them. But you never perceive that this person doesn't know how to fish. So maybe I need to teach him how to fish so he can eat every day instead of just feeding him today. So we have to take a close evaluation on what the needs are. We have to also take the evaluation of, are we given a clear message? Because I've seen some brothers, and I'm just telling the truth, I've seen some brothers on the corner selling the final call, and someone may ask a question about the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. And at the end of the day, he gets a sermon. And who's to say that that person who walked away from you looking dumbfounded even understood what you were saying? Because we've all become psychologists and quotologists.
Come on.
That we often don't even comprehend what we're saying ourselves. And I'm saying that to say this. You know, before we are really qualified to say enough is enough, we have to make sure that we are being servants. We call ourselves servants of Allah. But we're not doing Allah any service if we are misleading or mistreating and certainly misjudging our people. So we have to be very careful, especially brothers, when you put on that bow tie. That represents a servant. But you have to first learn how to serve.
Come on.
And you can't teach unless you yourself have been taught. So you got a lot of people who've been to one FOI class, two FOI classes, and now they got sermonitis, and they think they're teaching you something. No, I'm just like, hey, if I'm going to tell the truth today, and that's how it is. And I'm going to tell you something, another thing. A lot of people, I've been in the nation 48 years come December 6th. A lot of people get a bad taste in their mouth and get a misunderstanding about our minister because of what come out of their mouth. Because you said the wrong thing, because you yielded to your own understanding.
Come on, say that again.
So when you have people who saying, I don't like the Nation of Islam, why? I don't like Farrakhan, why? You don't know him. Why you don't like him? And then those, some who come out to the mosque, been so poorly handled. So poorly handled. that it leaves a bad taste. So when you ask the question, when is enough, when we have checked ourselves to make sure that we have done our best, because you can't get frustrated with a person that you have served. You can't get frustrated with a person that you didn't tell them the complete truth. You can't get frustrated with a person because you decided to show off and give them an illegitimate answer because you were too proud to say, I don't know, but brother, I'll find out, or sister, I'll find out for you.
Come on.
So we have to have or take the responsibility of knowing that we've given nothing less than our best.
Yes.
And when we can stand toe-to-toe in the mirror and look at ourselves and say, I've given my very best to this brother, to this sister, and if the rest is up to Allah because I know nothing else to give, then we can say enough is enough. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum. Yes, ma'am. Thank you very, very much for that response. And that speaks to our last question, exactly what you said. And I'm going to preface it with this. What we read from the Quran earlier, it's Surah or Chapter 47, entitled Muhammad is the name of the Surah. It's also called War, W-A-R. And it's ayat or verse 2, and it states, and those who believe and do good, and believe in that which has been revealed to Muhammad, and it is the truth from their Lord, he will remove their evil from them and improve their condition. And we're down to the last 3 minutes, so very quickly, the question is, why must we serve? Having that as our backdrop, so to die from it as quickly as you can. Why must we serve?
It's our duty to Allah. And I'm leaving with that. It's our duty to Allah. We here because he allowed us to be here. So it's our duty to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Anything to add to that, Queen Aziza, at all?
Well, I tell you, we have to fulfill our purpose. We have to stop thinking that Allah God is a unnecessary creator.
Yes.
We all have a divine purpose. And let me say that again. We all have a divine purpose.
Yes.
And once we know that purpose, we have to fulfill our duty in order to make us have a life, to make us worthy of having the life that Allah gave us. So it says, keep your duty to Allah.
Yeah.
Or should I say that the old-time religion that God gave in the garden was, obey me.
That's right.
That was
That's
all
right.
He asked. Was to obey me. And so when we decide that we are going to not only hear, but we are going to obey, well, obedience is a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's a responsibility. Mm-hmm. Because I promise you, there are many humps in the ground for people who were just not worthy of life. And everybody said, well, I don't know why that happened to him. Well, maybe it's not for you to know why. Allah is the judge.
That's right.
Allah blesses whom he pleases. So now if Allah blesses whom he pleases, then don't you think that Allah will chastise whom he pleases?
What you say? Amen.
And so we have to make ourselves worthy of this life, this life on this earth, bearing witness to the truth of Allah is vital.
Yes.
Because it determines who will go into the hereafter. If you have a hand at leading someone astray, there is a mighty wrath from Allah for you.
Mm.
We have a duty. That is what we are here for. If one man could master everything, well, hell, we wouldn't need a population. We wouldn't have to be fruitful and multiply. He could have left Adam here by himself and say, handle it. We have to be worthy of this life. We have to be the fruit from the tree that Allah planted within us. We have to make Allah reality.
Yes.
Come on.
And if we fail to do that, and we decide to give our deceptive intelligence all of the power, then Allah will destroy all of us. So those of us who say, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, you have taken a responsibility.
Yes.
That's
and if
true.
You fail to keep it, there is a price that you will pay. And then again, at the same time, it's not for anybody to judge, but we will see the works of Allah in you and
that's right.
the lack of Allah in you.
That's right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wow.
And you know what, Brother Kareem, I'm sorry, we have one more question, and I promise Brother Aaron I will ask this question.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Aaron says, and Sister Diacoma, Sister, put your seatbelt on. Brother Aaron says, why does the minister teach for the women to be at home when they have all the jobs? Okay, Sister Diacoma, go.
Well, reality of it is, I mean, we wait on the black men to step up and take that role. I mean, reality of it is, I mean, we still holding y'all hands in this situation called life. But we waiting. And as soon as y'all do, we'll be at home. We'll be on the front line. We'll take our 6 feet back. But right now, unfortunately, Brother Abel, we got to stand up. Because if we sit at home, our babies will be hungry. Let's keep it 100% real. Mine's got to eat. And so I'm going out there and go get it. So until I got a brother that want to step up and say, hey, let me put a ring on that finger, queen. I'm going to be out there in the street just as hard as the brothers be as hard out there just as hard. And I'm going to go ahead and let that one go because I ain't going to even get deep into that because I love my F-O-I. Love them to death. But until they step up, I'm going to be out there suited and booted with them.
Okay. Well, Brother Aaron, beloved, let me say this. I always have to remind myself that the minister say, enjoy one another, the patrons. Enjoy one another. Okay. I have to say this, and I'm saying this with love, and he knows that, and I pray he does anyway. I put it like this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that a nation can rise no higher than its woman. And what does that mean? You know, because when you look at it, if you look at it like a pyramid, the woman is on top and everything else is beneath her. But it's almost like what the minister said at the Million Man March coming up on 18 years ago. He says that a leader does not stand in front of the people.
Hmm.
A leader pushes the people forward or leads the people, pushes them ahead. So when a woman rises to her highest ability, it is on your shoulders that she stands. And what does that really mean? That means that from her, your fruit goes forward, and that she is the priority of your life. Well, why is she the priority of your life? Because she is the bearer of your future. And so there has to be a high degree of protection around her. Because if everyone has access to your garden, you're going to wake up hungry one day. Because all your fruit is going to be gone, if you know what I mean. So let's just... I mean this in all seriousness, because we understand, and don't get me wrong, we understand what American society has done to the black man, the situations that they have created for the black man not to be able to go out here and be a producer. I don't want anybody to think that we take that lightly or that we've turned a blind eye to that. Because that's real. The white man, and I'll call it like I see it, the white man has created situations from long, long ago to keep the black man out of the household. Yes. Because he knows that if you really tapped into your power, that you would be a very dominant force to deal with, because he is really inferior to you. We as black women know that. However, we don't have a problem going to work because our titles given to us by Almighty God Allah is to be a help meet.
That's right, teacher.
We help you meet the obligations that you have to Allah, but you have another obligation. To your family, to your seed. You have to protect your black woman because she produces your future. And if you allow her to continue to go off into corporate America, you're going to get more of what you're seeing now.
That's right.
A lot of black women saying, I don't need no man. Why do I need a man? I can pay my own bills. I can buy my own house. I sure don't need a man now. All of them no good. So I'm going to be a lover of myself. I'm going to start loving on my sisters. And that's what they want you to do. Because they want to incarcerate you to keep the black woman from reproducing you into the future. So you got the one half being lesbians, and then you got the other half sleeping with white men. That's why they got scandal all over TV. So now they're trying to perpetuate a situation to where now it's favorable for a successful black woman to sleep with a white man. But did not the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teach us that in the last day, his last trick would be what? His woman. Well, what does he mean by his woman? Not necessarily the color of her skin, but the content of her character, her mindset. So once she has given herself to this white man, trust and believe me, she is his woman. And nine times out of ten, 90% of the black men are in prison, are in prison because of a woman. And you say, well, how is that so? Because more than likely, if he went out there to rob something, he went out there to rob something so he can look good to impress who? A woman.
A woman, come on.
If he was trying to make some fast money, trying to prevent from going to jail for not paying child support, why? Because of a woman.
A woman, come on.
So everything that a man does, all the comforts and joys in the world are for the woman, even though the man creates them.
Come on.
It's not anything that you won't do for a woman. As Barry White once said, our sweetness is your weakness, and you know that.
Come on.
So you have to protect the black woman, even though you have a learned behavior that you are not to do so. When you turn to Allah, turn from your wicked ways.
Come on.
Seek his face.
Come on.
Then you will learn. You will learn who you are. And you will fulfill your duty, not only as a man, but as a Muslim. What is a Muslim? One who submits his will to do the will of Allah.
Yes.
Submit your will. Allah compels us not. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I say to this brother quick, Brother Kareem, a righteous woman, a righteous woman, want to be at home. She wants to keep that home in order. She wants to keep her husband in order. Because then she ain't got to worry about the cares of the world. Only thing she got to do is worry about the cares of that husband and that home and those children. So when you find that righteous woman, I guarantee you, she don't want to go out there. But if she see you struggling and she see that she got to step up and do what she got to do, a real woman going to put on that hat. And so we as women, we do what we got to do. So that's what I wanted to add. I wanted to add that as well, too. But all praise is before Allah, Queen of Eden. Yes, sir, ma'am. It's beautiful.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is before Allah. Queen of Eden, I'll line up.
All right, join us tomorrow out on the front line with the fruit of Islam, and the captains are in the house. I know we have Captain Curtis, Captain Majid, and Captain Emeritus Dennis Muhammad. All of the Captain Emeritus are going to be on the line tomorrow night. And also join us on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central for DJ Black Caesar and Friends. And on Thursday, I will be back, yours truly, at 8 p.m. Central with Sister Nisha Muhammad and Dr. Taffy Wagner, and we're going to be talking about Before You Say I Do, financial planning for your life and premarital financial planning. And we have some good information about Obamacare, how we need to plan for our health care before marriage, because we worried about the wedding dress and everything else, but as soon as we get sick, we don't know what to do. So we're going to have a very informative show on Thursday. And on Friday, we'll be back with Student Minister James Muhammad with our live study group to put on, I'm going to say time, what must be done, put on the new man as he welcomes back international representative of the Nation of Islam, Brother Abdul Akbar Muhammad. He'll be back for part two. And on Saturday, we'll be here again at 8 p.m. Central for Young, Gifted, and Black. I don't know who's going to be on. I forgot. Brother Ronnie's going to kill me. Okay. And then on Sunday, join us for No Romance Without Finance with Brother Vernon Muhammad. That's our economic development show. And on Monday, we'll be right back here with Brother Kareem. And Brother Kareem, are we going to get a sneak peek at the topic, or we got to wait?
You know, I don't do no sneaking, but I understand. Yes, absolutely. Our topic next Monday will be Where Two or More Are Gathered in My Name.
Hallelujah. There I am also. All praises due to Allah.
All right, well, I want to thank everybody who joined us in the chat rooms, on the phone, by whatever type of media you joined us. I want to thank you. I also want to say that I pray to Allah that something that we shared was a benefit to you. And as always, the thought is the act is the fact. We either participate or we all dissipate. I want to leave you, as I came, with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikumsalam. And I'm sorry, I forgot to, I need to announce this, I'm sorry, because I promised I would. I want to remind everyone, especially the sisters, but brothers as well, breast cancer in the black community, men and women, is on the rise. But the good thing about that is that it is very curable if it's detected early. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Men and women, I encourage you to go get your mammogram. The earlier, the better if something is wrong. But we pray to Allah that we are all healthy. Of course, we're going to be doing shows later on this month pertaining to diet and foods that we know to cause cancer. But it's always good to get your checkup. Also, we want to remind you to tune in to the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, The Time of What Must Be Done, every Saturday. And also, we want to remind you of the Day of Atonement in Tuskegee, the weekend of October 19th and 20th. So those of you who can make it to the Holy Day of Atonement, we hope that we can, inshallah, we can see you there this year and celebrate with you the Holy Day of Atonement. So I just wanted to remind people that, but men and women, men, stop, drop your ego. Like Quincy Jones say, leave your ego at the door. Go get your breasts examined. And so we want to see you around for many, 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 many years to come. And I want to say this, too, about men, because I know one person, the man, that has breast cancer. And unfortunately, it looks like, you know, Allah is, of course, the determiner of the outcome of everything. But it looks like he might succumb to it. But he had a pain in his chest, breast area, for a long time. And he didn't say anything because he just thought that was a muscle strain because he likes to lift weights. Come to find out, it was a malignant tumor, and it was breast cancer. And, of course, he was treated for such, but it was so late after the fact. So please, brothers, drop your ego, please, and go get your chest breast examined. Thank you, and may Allah continue to bless us all. We leave you as we came before you. Assalamu alaikum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam.